think I just got a little dizzy just now. Little chair dancing. Happy Monday. Welcome to House Eats Presents. Woo! It's a lovely audience out there today. Oh, hi, Jamie.
Hi.
We have Jamie Hossack here today, Miss Scottish Loss. Scottish Loss. How are you today?
I'm feeling great.
You're feeling good. We're knocking knees under the table because she's a tall girl. She's a dancer. So we have her on here to talk choreography and life and all things Vegas and whatnot. And you know a lot of the people in the audience out here, do you?
Hi, guys.
You know Keely very well over here. What's up,
Keely? We go way back.
Give a shout out to Keely. Hi. You can talk. It's okay. You can yell back to us. Do you have? You also have cocktails in your hand.
Keely's done my makeup forever.
Forever?
And ever and ever.
She's awesome.
Ever, ever.
And we have Andy out here, too.
Yep, I know that
and
guy.
And we also have our friend Tanya out here. Tanya is embarked on her Good Spirits tour. She's been a guest on here a couple times. Hi.
Hi.
Where's your alcohol? Did you need some?
No, I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay, well, it is Monday. Kids did go back to school. Everyone should have alcohol today if you have children going back. Yep. And alcohol to celebrate that moment. So cheers.
Cheers.
For the children.
Back to school.
Uh-huh. Mm. I don't know if I should be taking a shot for children, but yeah.
Nap time?
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay. Nap time. So we usually start the show with a little bit of weekend roundup, things we did this weekend. I found myself, we had a nice offer on House Eats. I found myself at a Mandalay Beach. Ooh. At a 98 degrees
yes!
O-Town concert. And what else? Dreams, the girl band
okay.
Dreams.
Okay.
Which I wasn't aware that I knew their music, but until they sang, you know, then I started to sing along. But it was very entertaining being in the beach concert with, you know, they encouraged young people, but there wasn't a lot of young people unless they were dragged by their mom, because this is 30 plus, you know, people, 30 year old plus women loving these bands. And I never really was an O-Town fan. Making the band.
I was 98 degrees for sure.
See, I didn't know a lot of their songs, and it was weird because they started doing a lot of covers of other boy bands. So, oh. And I already have a hard time differentiating the Backstreet Boys
yep.
and NSYNC
yep.
and other boys. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I do too.
Yeah.
So I think half of them have been in Chippendales too.
Yes. So yeah, Nick Lachey or Drew Lachey, or what, they were there.
Yep.
They were pulling something out of their ass at the show. these women were screaming, like literally, like back in the day screaming. And they're there in their bathing suits, throwing themselves as much as they could towards them on stage. It was just like, what am I doing here? That venue is amazing. And you know, I was reminded, and I missed it. I was reminded the night before, one of my favorite bands was there. The Go-Go's were there the night before. Belinda Carlisle.
Yep, very cool.
One of my favorite people. So, and that was like their farewell tour, I guess.
And
so
then you got to see.
They're done. And then yes, and I got to see the next day, which was quite. Oh, Scott keeps reminding me to talk about this because I don't want to talk about this because it breaks my heart. But today we learned that Gene Wilder passed, and I was on the way to the show, and I was playing "Pure Imagination," my absolute favorite song ever written, in the car on the way here. I was just crying on my way here, and so I've had enough to drink. Now I won't cry for the show. But then he's gonna see. Now he's gonna put his voice on, ladies and gentlemen.
The
did best. You ever want to jump in that
the
chocolate
best.
Room?
I was scared of the bubbles.
Yeah.
I was terrified when I was little. Now I love it.
You know what? My mom, we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. We were talking about the movie versus Johnny Depp, the book. Because when I was a kid, my mom read that book to us when we were kids, me and my sister.
Okay.
She would sit in the hallway of me and my sister's rooms and read to us every night. So she read James and the Giant Peach, and she read Charlie the Chocolate Factory as a book to us when we were younger. So I was already excited about, you know, the movie had already come out, but I was already excited about the book and excited about the story. So I don't even believe Johnny Depp's a version of it, but
yeah.
But the music from the show, which was nominated, we looked it up, it was nominated for an Oscar, but didn't actually win the Oscar for best score.
Which is crazy.
But the writers also wrote a lot of music for Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's probably one of the best musicals ever because of the message that it says. You know, if you want to change the world, which we talk about quite often on the show, there's nothing to it.
I'm just glad I got to grow up with that movie as well. And like, of course, all the candy. It's very fascinating.
Oh my gosh. We had a party one day at DW. We had a Willy Wonka party at DW. We had like the chocolate fountain, and I was going around pouring candy down people's mouth.
Of course.
It was great. It was awesome.
And people relive it all the time for corporate events. I see it all the time. I've actually been a chocolate girl in a bathtub full of chocolate. I mean, you name it. We've done it.
Do we have a do we have photos of that?
We don't. Those
Dang it. Of all the photos that Jamie sent, there was not in a chocolate bathtub.
I tried to keep it, you know.
You keep it. We're not have to be G-rated here. Back to school.
I don't know.
We do another shot. As we say. Every time you say back to school, you have to do a shot. Mm-hmm. For the children. So what you did send over, I want to, really quick, she did have a Willy Wonka story.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear this again. Tell everybody about your Willy Wonka story, about what happened.
Speaking of Mandalay Bay, the day of my wedding, pretty cool. It was very chill. My dad flew in, picking up everybody from the airport, and so he had to drop me off. He got me a room. My girlfriends were going to meet me around noon, which is normal Vegas get-up time.
Right.
So, 9 a.m., what do? My dad left, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll play Willy Wonka penny slots. And, you know, the little bonus, they say they unwrap the gold candy bar.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. You think it's a lie? It happened. Won $5,000 day of my wedding. It was the biggest sign ever, and I was like, dinner's on me.
See? Those are the kind of moments. You know, I've played that machine to no luck, but that is amazing.
But I was betting the max because I was like, I really need to go shopping. Frederick's was upstairs. And that's, I think, what did it. So there's your secret.
Max bet. Is Scott, is that an IGT game? See, his wife works for IGT.
Oh, okay.
It's not. Well, in other news this week at the same time, on that note, I play Megabucks a lot when I'm out with my partner. He plays the Buffalo game.
Okay.
And I play Megabucks.
Okay.
And I played at the Wynn so very often. And this woman won
at
the Wynn
yes,
this week. She won $10.7 million. I'm like, I play that game all the time.
Every night.
I'm like, what? Every night. Yeah. I have won $900 on that game playing at the Venetian, but nowhere near five grand. So golden ticket for Jamie.
It was a golden day.
Golden. It's a golden day.
It was shocking.
On your wedding day. So we are flashing. That is not her photo. But that would be Andrew Ragone's photo, which is fine, too.
Oh,
he's hot. There's Jamie.
But I've done so much. I was like,
you probably have choreographed much of Andrew's things. So you sent over. These are very clear, amazing shots. Yeah. First of all, let me give homage to your photographer, first of all, because
which
the shots.
Which is my husband.
Which is your husband?
Yeah. He's a B-boy super crew and does this on the side.
Like a dynamic pair, like powerhouse pair.
It was freezing that day. No pants.
Well, yeah, no pants. This Lake Tahoe somewhere or Mount Charleston?
Mount Charleston. Okay. Just running in the middle of the street. No cars. Go.
You look like kind of an Olympic gymnast in that picture too, actually.
Yeah, and shout out to Jeffrey DeBarthy. He made me that jacket.
Oh, she gets her clothes made and her husband does her photos. We're going to talk about the small business of Jamie here because honestly, this is seriously.
This was our
like
honeymoon.
So that's your honeymoon?
Whenever we like hang out, it's always a moment. Quick, grab the camera. I mean, it's funny.
I'm liking this. Why didn't we talk about this before, Keely? This is great. This her husband? Do you know her husband? Okay. We're gonna have your husband on to talk about this too.
Yeah.
in your world, and so one of the things. Oh, this is awesome. She sent so many amazing shots of the landscape of our valley as well.
Yeah, this was very cool during the blooming season. We went down there.
Where are you from originally? Have you lived here a long time? Because you've very, very well adapted to our environment here.
I'm from Phoenix.
Okay.
So there you go.
There
Phoenix,
you go.
Arizona.
She
I did
suffered
live
through heat.
In the East Coast for 3 years.
But you're originally from Phoenix?
Originally from Phoenix. Moved here, went to U of A for a hot second, and then auditioned here and been here ever since. So.
And what did you audition for? When did you come here?
You're going to laugh. The MGM theme park.
I remember that.
The last year. Did I just... Yeah, I was not old enough to be here.
And by old enough, you mean like 15?
I mean, when 16. I turned 21, they were like, haven't you been in Studio 54?
Uh-huh.
That's how we do it here.
Yeah. I remember those days. I think your school ID got you in.
Yes.
And they didn't even have your birth date on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tennille Whitlock. Mm-hmm. That was me.
I was David Thomas from Newark, New Jersey.
Well, they would
I look like I'm from Newark, New Jersey?
No.
But
they would ask me, how about the captain? And it was clueless. So
you're like,
failed. They're like, bye.
Wow. You actually got dismissed?
A couple
But they didn't
them.
Take it away. See, that's the funny thing. They have every right to take it away, but they don't take it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, you had an opportunity. I remember them flashing the light in the bar. And you know how it's supposed to light up? It went dull. Like literally, I was in a bar and they're like, they looked at me and they just handed it back and said, whatever. And I was like, okay, thank you. But yeah, back in the day, if you're cute, you're like, hey, who guess
like,
got
hey.
In?
Yeah.
They're a little stricter now, and thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all of those who check IDs. Everybody at my restaurant, everywhere else, thank you for checking IDs and keeping us real. Right. So, okay, so theme park. So what did you audition for at the theme park?
So I came down here, and they brought me, I wasn't old enough for Studio 54 yet, yeah. but they brought me down in MGM where the EFX Theater was, and I auditioned for the theme park / EFX / New Year's, and that's where it all began. And I was so fortunate for Barry Morgan, Chris Coley. That's where it all started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know Jenny Ammon, is that?
Oh, yeah.
I went to junior high, middle school, wait, whatever they call it, elementary school. I went to elementary school with Jenny. I've known her a long, long time. And she was dancer in Studio 54 when I used to go all the time, swinging from
the
rafters.
And she would work in the theme park during the day, and she would sleep under the table. So I didn't get to know her at that part because I was like, why is this girl sleeping? She's tired all the time. But then I started working at Studio 54 and we became best. I mean, to this day, we work together. So.
That was one of the best clubs in Vegas.
Oh my gosh, I'm very fortunate.
We had one of those little, like, I think it was was it a blue card or silver card for the VIP?
Oh, totally.
And Lisa Pittman was the upstairs DJ.
This was
the original, like, before Hawkes, this is where Hawkeson lies today, but this club was the Vegas club to be at.
I worked there for years, and I can't tell you the...
Then I probably saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Because you had the Aerial Axe come down, which I still think should come back. There's plenty of room in Hawkeson for them to do Aerial Axe.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, you know, the confetti came down. I think I even entered a Halloween costume contest at that. Yeah.
Bowarts was always there.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
I was Carol Channing. Everybody's laughing. I don't know why.
I'm picturing it.
I had a blue sequin dress. I had pearls. Scott, I had pearls around my neck. Yes, I did. And I had a little purse, and I had a little blonde hair, and people had to do, There are no photos because there was no Facebook back then.
No, thank you.
We would have all been in trouble if there was Facebook in
the
early times.
I had one on my MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't even have MySpace before, but yeah, Studio 54 was the quintessential, like, I mean, it was so much fun. That made the club so interactive, and so it wouldn't have to show up and, like, sit in a corner, or just the dance floor was awesome.
Oh, it was a continuous party, and not only when we got off, it was a continuous party. Like, I've missed that family, and that family really became my family, and oh my gosh.
And a lot of that family's still here. So when you're putting on a lot of the shows, I mean, Jenny choreographs Golden Rainbow every year, and you and Andy just directed things at Golden Rainbow this year at Tropicana. So there's our picture of Golden Rainbow. What?
Yeah. It was my first year on that side.
Well,
not choreographing. I've choreographed forever ago, but stepped off and then came back and then got to work on this side, and it was really fun.
So give you a little history here for Miss Jamie. Jamie crossed paths with House Seats when we did our... would you do Thriller with us too?
I didn't.
She did not.
I wish.
But she did. She did come in and help us with Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, and she actually choreographed a number that was Back to Black.
Oh, yes.
With Amy Guess.
So lucky.
She's fabulous too. which, you know, you have done that with us, and we're going to do a number more. As we were talking, we're doing a number more choreographic sort of shows rather than just singing.
Yes.
Because as we all know from the VMAs last night, it's all about the dancing. It is not about the singing, y'all. But dancing wise, I mean, you have done a lot of shows here on the Strip. You have worked with Enoch over at Zombie Burlesque, which is such a fun show.
Oh my gosh!
And choreography wise, it's so fun to watch.
Yes.
I mean, they're swinging around penises and things in the air, but lots of props. In that
I didn't even see it, and I auditioned for it, and then I was like, I just knew it was burlesque, and I was like, of course.
Yeah.
And then I saw it, and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait!
It's brilliant. We had Enoch on here, and you know, they're talking about shows and how well received it is. I mean, they have so many TripAdvisors and Yelps commenting on that show being brilliant for what it is.
It's perfect.
So you were on the team to create that.
Yeah, and in that show, I mean, you do everything. So I was literally tap dancing on the pole and doing point. I mean, in your career here in Vegas, you don't usually get to use all your skill set. What was left of the tapping?
You have been a part, because a lot of times when we talk to performers on the show, a lot of times there's that element where, you know, they're always, this is great. This is at Encore Beach Club. I knew that right away.
Yeah. Yep.
Been there a lot. you are sometimes very much behind the scenes of a show.
Yes.
Which I think a lot of people, we've interviewed, you know, we've interviewed Keith Thompson as a musical director. We've interviewed people who have done production management. But on your side, you have literally put your hand in a lot of shows that people don't know about on the Strip.
Absolutely.
Tell me the role of a choreographer and how they bring you in early, and then you're part of the audition process for people who are watching who either want to audition or want to know what to look for, how to prepare for something.
Well, I actually have really enjoyed this process. I've auditioned 100 times. It's really cool to be on the side, and I can be very informative to my friends or whoever I don't know. I love to see new people. And you just kind of sit back, and I like to be super clear. This is what I'm looking for. And again, it's not always my choice.
Right.
But it's also interesting to see what people talk about after the audition, because I have my opinion, and then what people see is so interesting. Sometimes these clients, you never know. And I can't wait for my company to be like, you know, it's just because your tattoos.
Right.
Or whatever it may be. You weren't tall enough. You know, they didn't like your hairstyle. Mm-hmm. It's literally the nitpickiest things that occur. But it's really fun. And again, I like to turn my auditions into just a super good time. So regardless, you're taking away a fun experience and combo. But it's really interesting, depending on the show. And that's the thing. I've done so many different shows. It really is a variety of what they're looking for.
So a lot of the shows that you've done, name off a few that the viewers might know here, at least in Vegas particularly.
I've done La Rev. Yeah. I did Rick Springfield in EFX. Yep. Mm-hmm. 40 Deuce. Okay. Manly Bay was one of my all-time favorites.
So now it's called...
It was 1923. It was 1923.
Yeah, it is 1923. Yeah. But it was Ivan Caine's 40 Deuce.
Oh, yes. And I did the tour and Tavares choreographed Lena. Oh, it was brilliant. Like that was I think I became seasoned there.
That venue, if you don't know, it's underneath, it's by RM Seafood. It's in the tucked away behind the escalators when you're coming down from Mandalay Place. It is one of the rare gems in Vegas of having, because I remember going there a lot. People had booked tables there all the time for parties. And we watched as the show starts. It's a very awesome underground sort of burlesque.
Get your RM singers. Sushi and then come on over.
Yeah. You know, one of the venues similar to it now, I mean, not really burlesque, is Rose Rabbit Lie.
Oh,
you have
I love
Sky
that
Miles
venue.
Over there doing the numbers. And they're, I guess they're, you know, obviously they're going to be converting, the venue for,
Absence
closing. They're going to move over and fit it for the space. It's a great space, but that particular venue was so much fun to go to.
And you didn't know what you're going to expect. And I think you always came.
Yeah, you never
and
did.
It wasn't a serious dress code. So like even a lot of performers, like, you know, naked. They came in and you just didn't know what you're going to get. Girls changed the variety, and it was always
It's a very tight
freestyle.
Dressing room, because I've been back there.
Oh,
it's like
God.
You're
it's
not even it's like a minute, and then you're out there, and then the stage is no longer than, you know, the length of this part of the table. I mean, it's tight.
I
you
can
the
tell
piano
you
and everything.
So many stories.
Oh, I bet you could.
And you can't. I actually couldn't. Yeah,
I'm sure for the sake of her career here.
Yeah,
we
fun
won't talk.
Stuff, though.
We won't talk negatively
a
about
a lot of pasties.
Certain things. Yes.
Beautiful pasties went into that.
But La Rev, tell me, because I actually worked on the beginning of that show. Did you come in and do a lot of choreography when they started to revamp the show and change it to a lot more dancing in the show?
So I think they originally started with the Dancing with the Stars, which clearly they were professional ballroom dancers.
Right.
And then I got a call and they were looking for, I think, I don't know how you say regular dancers, but our style dancers. Studio trained have more, the elements are so crazy in that show. So maybe we could work where they could throw us in the water more or whatever, where the ballroom, they changed it over. So we were more part of the aquatic side.
Sure.
And
that's awesome.
It was super crazy. I love the water and I love to swim. But yeah, they were like, do you ballroom? I was like, mm-hmm. And there you go. And then they taught me, thank God. And it was awesome.
That is one of the most beautiful shows in Vegas.
Yeah, and I think I only popped my head up once. Like, it's amazing the crazy things that go on underneath and how scary it is. And
I've been on that
intense pool
level a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it was really fun on the side that I was on, the PR side, because I would just get to go press to the pool level button in the elevator.
Oh,
and then just walk around casually as the boys ran off stage. It was great.
In their nude.
In their nude
neoprene.
It was fun. It was a fun show.
Also, what was I just going to say? Yeah, it'll
Rev.
Come back.
Well, you know, La Rev went through a lot of transition from
especially
the beginning,
and
a lot more dancing was brought into the show. Yeah. I mean, there's the very famous scene, the red men in the red sarong sort of thing. That show, I mean, if you've never really witnessed how something is created, because we got to actually watch,
have to see it,
we watched as a beginning, we watched Franco Dragone create the show from a dark box in the theater as it was, you know, becoming creation.
The dream.
But the process itself is super cool to see and watch how things come into from zero to where it is now.
I remember they called me and they said, okay, two questions. Are you claustrophobic and are you afraid of birds? And I was like, excuse me? What? I mean, the things you get asked are those are insane. Awesome. And then when you do get hired, the first thing you do is watch the show, the whole show underneath. Yeah.
If you get attacked by a dove if you're not afraid of lift. Birds. Yeah, yeah, right. So it an involvement to where you have come with Zombie Burlesque and other shows that have come up now. What is your most recent work that you've worked with?
Well, now I'm on the creative side, so more so choreographing. Yeah. So I think the first show I choreographed was American Superstars. Okay. I was also in it.
Yeah,
there was
yeah.
a lot of impersonators. And my business partner was in the show at the time. She's okay. the captain. So she's like, I think Jamie should choreograph. And then from there, it's just kind of escalated. And we got to put together a show called Dream Girls.
Okay.
It was super awesome. Yeah. It was actually close to here at where Embassy Suites is now. Okay. It used to be called
sure.
different.
Yeah.
And now I'm choreographing for corporate events and currently working on a 90s project.
Gotcha.
Called Pretty Fly. So I'm more so choreographing right now. The last show I did was Zombie Burlesque.
So tell us a little bit about your company, because, you know, people want to know exactly what you're talking about when you're saying you're choreographing
sure, sure.
and you have the opportunity to place a lot of people in productions and place them in corporate events that come to town, because there's a lot of those that keep coming up.
Oh my gosh.
How does
so
that work and how does your business work?
Well, it's really cool. I mean, we have our own company and it's called girlbossproductions.com.
Girlbossproductions.com.
Yep. Boss
it.
Babes.
Okay.
And we're just kind of giving back to the community, providing. We're kind of two young entrepreneurs
yep.
and we just love what we do. And so we're passionate and we want the opportunity to create, as who doesn't.
Right.
So we do a lot of that already and we just kind of decided to make it a thing.
Gotcha.
I also on the side get hired just as Jamie for choreography all around kind of the world, but a lot of companies in Vegas, DVD, you name it, agencies. I'm
right.
always lucky enough to choreograph for their events. And one day I'm, you know, being a stand-in for J-Lo and then
uh-huh.
I'm doing
oh, wow.
something random. Yeah, that got thrown
What was
at
that
me like?
Like
that.
So this is her new
so,
show?
Caesar's 50th. We just worked
oh, okay.
on
yeah,
production,
yeah, sure.
right?
Yeah.
And they just called me over and the director at DVD said, you're going to do this. And they handed me her mic, Swarovski's, like gorgeous. And
yeah.
I was like, what am I doing? But I just rolled with it. You got to act like you know. And then they're
she
like, you're gonna be her
because
mm-hmm. she entered at the end of our number.
Okay.
And then read her speech. And I was like, can I get a scroll through? Like, are you serious? Read this. Okay. So whatever. I'm up there.
Yeah.
I know the part because we choreographed it. I walk out, fog, smoke. I'm like, this is what it feels like. Literally. And I went on and then I was
I
like,
goosebumps for
welcome,
you.
50th anniversary. And I just had to roll and read the teleprompter. So
that's I've always wanted to meet somebody who stood in for a celebrity, so to speak.
Oh, well, I don't
that's
even.
So
I don't
awesome.
Even think she knew anything, but maybe she saw my video. And then all my dancer Jamo. Friends were like, you're on camera. And they're like, don't mess up. I was like,
don't mess up. Yeah,
oh,
right.
God. So that was pretty cool.
Have you seen that show all through?
No, I'm dying.
Neither have we. And this will be
dying.
Another plug again yet for us to see Caesars. Please send us J-Lo tickets. Thank you.
Yep.
We missed the opening. They somehow missed our name at House Seats. I don't know. It's fine. We still haven't seen that show. So we should all go together, right?
I'll make sure mm-hmm. I let her know.
We'll figure it out. We'll let her know. Mm-hmm. So when you watch, I want to ask you this. When you watch shows like VMAs or other award shows where there's dancing involved or other shows in town like Britney or any of the other shows that use heavy choreography in the show, more so choreography. I that came out wrong. We love you, Britney. Everyone who does choreography and forgets to sing, I love you. When you see these, and you see the level of talent on stage. I mean, Beyonce last night had, I don't know how many dancers she had on stage at one given time. Whoever sponsored that number in the show yesterday on VMAs, it was massive amounts
yes.
of dancing. How do they put that together in your mind of like when it goes and what happens and how they know to play on that stage? I mean, it looks like a huge undertaking when you're doing something like that.
I think it all starts from like one little inspiration and you sit down and you have a meeting. And then honestly, a lot of times things don't happen. And
yeah.
best mistakes turn into something beautiful. So,
gotcha. Oh,
but
you.
Absolutely, there's like probably six, you know, people working on it and then it all
okay.
comes together. And kind of that one day it's supposed to all come together is crazy. And
right.
probably an all day thing, but hopefully it does.
Did you see Beyonce last night?
This I saw, yeah. yep. I saw a little bit.
She probably went on for about 10 minutes, I would
yeah,
say.
She
I mean,
had
I,
something to say.
Yeah, she had something to say. And it was quite, I mean, literally, she was moving. She was using every part of the stage at Madison Square Garden
and
that they
some.
Had, probably.
I can't wait to do that one day.
Yeah. There was that moment where, I don't know, was that latex? Or if you watched last night, and I'm sorry if you did on some levels, because I felt like we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. Rosie and I were talking about this because we felt like we were being dumbed down a little bit with the mm-hmm. way the commentators were talking to us. And And, well, there was a lot of lip syncing going on. You know, they can't dance and sing at the same time, right? Thank you, Tina Turner, and other people who paved the way for really singing and dancing. 90s. Ladies, come on. There was a moment where I did watch Rihanna remove the microphone and there was still singing going on magically.
And she can sing.
Oh, I know she can.
I'm like, I don't know why they do that.
We saw Billboard Music Awards, I think it was, recently, where she just brought the house down singing and it was only just her.
Yep.
And then you have her dancing and it's like she just pulled the mic away and there the track was still going. You're like, okay, that's what's happening now. But it was VMAs and it was, you know, it was MTV. I don't know. They don't really show music videos anymore anyway, so I don't really know what.
I know, I miss that.
What the channel's about, but but anyway, so that side, I mean, you see the talent coming out there and doing these elaborate numbers and these elaborate dance routines. Is that something you aspire to do? Is actually choreograph something that somebody does like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. For an artist or just big productions in general, I think I'm training for that and it's really cool. I think being a dancer, being in the business, being a makeup artist, being all, you know, flying in the air, it kind of gives me a grip on everything. And so I usually bring that to the table when I come onto a project. So it's cool.
So when you're a kid in Phoenix and dreaming about being a dancer and choreographer, what did you envision your life was going to be like?
Well, I didn't think Vegas. Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't know about Vegas, to be honest, when I was younger, which is a good thing, mom and dad. But I made this little school report and I was like, I want to be a choreographer. So I used to like sleep in my dance shoes and my mom would drive me all around in every dance competition and the money they put into it. I'm like, oh, very thankful. So I'm like, it paid off.
Yeah.
But I'm still doing it and I feel super blessed. And yeah, but I kept saying, I'm going to be a choreographer. I'm busy dancing. I was always very into it.
And the universe responded.
Yeah, it's very cool.
This is, again, I'm going to bring it up because we talk about this every single time, and Tanya will attest to this, that literally, what you know, I'm a big firm believer in the power of all that. I know. Oh, is that what you have on your?
Dreams are my reality. Yep.
So we were talking at top of show, the one thing I would ever get tattooed, because I'm a huge, like, if I get my finger pricked for an allergy test, I pass out. This would be a problem. I would put Pure Imagination on my body somewhere because I am a Willy Wonka. And so this is why we're talking about. But honestly, you know, the Willy Wonka themes. It's crazy. You know, we talk a lot about the law of attraction and putting out in the world what you want. Absolutely. And knowing early on what the dream you have for your life is.
Yeah.
And see, this is what I put on my Instagram today. And I reminded people again, we are the music makers and we are the dreamers of the dreams. This is very important in your life when you really put together what you want in your life because it manifests. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, it comes out in a way. And so we were talking, I'm going to put you at the end of the show here and talk a little bit about you as a small business because in doing this show, this is like number 34 or 35 of our shows. We've done 35, number 35.
Woo.
Lucky number 35.
Ah.
We you know, Scott is very adamant about getting me to do another show. And we talked about, he sighs. I've been my own boss for 11 or 12 years now. And one of the things that is very difficult is being your own boss and being representing yourself and going out there and getting the business. So we're going to start a new show. It's going to air starting at the end of next month, probably the beginning of October. We're going to talk about this. It's real life.
Yes.
It's called Small Business, Big Voice, because this country's made up of small businesses like ours, like yourself, like small businesses out there, like Keely as well, like Tanya, like House Seats. And so we're going to talk to people about, because it's very difficult. It's very lonely being in business by yourself.
Yep.
And you don't know who to ask. And we want to have this being like an education process for all of us about what to do. Hire this person, do that. And talk to people like, well, we're going to try to get on John Maxwell. He's one of my big, she got excited. 3 things successful people do. And he's one of my favorite people. I read him regularly.
And as
Scott pointed out, it's a pretty thick book for 3 things to learn, but it's a quick read. But we're going to talk to a lot of business people and we've gratefully got sponsorships by local, the Finley dealership, of Jaguar/Land Rover. They are our corporate sponsor for the show.
Very cool.
And so we are going to talk to business people and what makes your business work and the questions you need to ask. So it's going to be an educational process for us because you are out there working it. And you are out there putting yourself out there for people to hire you. And what are the things to do? And how do you find, how do you stay in business for yourself and by yourself? And you're not alone. So we're going to talk about this. So
okay,
we may have you back on talking about how to do that. So one more time a shot, but this shot is going to be for Gene Wilder today. So
absolutely.
Cheers to
your
you.
Imagination.
Thank you for being
there. It goes.
There we go.